This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Wednesday evening, December 13th, at the time that we are recording this. And Damon, we have got a mixed bag to talk about here tonight. We're going to get into the World Tag League Finals, which took place this past Monday, December 11th, in Fukuoka. We're also going to talk, of course, about Wrestle Kingdom 12, which is right around the corner. Big match, Damon. I don't know if you heard about that. Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega. You know, I'm wrong about a lot of things, a lot of predictions on this podcast. And one of the things that I was sort of championing or trying to pound home is that this heavyweight tag division is not going to change. Like, most recently, well, before the finals, I was on Twitter a little bit. You know, I like to go on there. I get a lot of news from Twitter, and I believe it was Voices of Wrestling who was... they were debating with somebody about the outcome of the World Tag League Finals, and essentially what they were saying was, I don't know if it was Rich or Joe or whoever, but basically, like, don't get your hopes up for something new and fresh here. I mean, you know, G.O.D., they're in the finals. We saw who beat them during the tournament. War Machine beat them, right?
Yep.
Wait a second. War Machine beat KES.
Right.
G.O.D. beat KES. So I think that the safe assumption was that, okay, G.O.D. wins the World Tag League. War Machine has a claim to the title. You know, we're in other words, we're looking at a three-way cluster here.
A schmoz.
Right. An old-fashioned heavyweight tag schmoz. And the reason why I was so adamant about that position is because I just look at history, you know. Okay. I look at history. I look at how they've booked this tournament and how they've booked these titles going into the Dome. So I just thought that it was quite obvious. And maybe this is unfortunate, but I couldn't even fathom them going in a, dare I say, fresh new direction with these heavyweight tag titles. And let me tell you, Damon, I was obviously wrong, because Sonata and Evil are your 2017 World Tag League champions, and it's them versus KES at the Dome. Now, I still think in the back of my mind that there's a chance War Machine does get involved here. Because, like I said, they did beat KES, right?
All right.
I still think that there is a chance that this ends up being a three-way. But as of now, as of this recording, it's Sonata and Evil versus KES, Tokyo Dome, IWGP Heavyweight Tag Titles. How do you feel about that?
Better than the options that you laid out before. It was a little bit of a surprise to me, all things considered, because I think everyone, you know, had those never six-man belts, and they did not lose those. We had them pigeonholed for that at the Dome, right, with Bushi. Now, apparently, they'll be defending those never six-man titles on row two shows.
Yes, the traditional Christmas shows coming up, at least that's what I call them.
Yep.
Sunday, December 17th, that match is taking place. So it's, let's see here. So yeah, we've got G.O.D. and Fale challenging L.I.J. for the Never Trios titles.
Right. Now, I would not be surprised. It would not shock me at all to see a title change there, right?
We're going to see a title change there.
Right. I would tend to agree with that. And then now that gives G.O.D. and Fale something to do at the Dome, right? And it probably gives, you know, people like a Juice something to do. Juice has nothing to do right now.
Juice has nothing to do. Yoshihashi has nothing to do.
Yep.
Who else has nothing to do?
Elgin has nothing to do.
Elgin, well,
he's got his hands full right now. But
yeah. who knows if he's even going to be on the show?
I think he's on the show.
Yeah.
The problem is that his contract's done. And
I think he's in for a rumble.
Well, he's either in for a rumble or he's going, like, you know, he's losing to somebody that he's putting somebody over on the way out. Right.
Right.
He's putting, you know, this is where David Finley finally gets his push.
This is where Leo Tonga really has his big coming out party.
Right, right. So I wouldn't say that I would be shocked if Michael Elgin gets re-signed, but from all indicators, you know, from everything that you see online and everywhere, you know, all the scuttlebutt, you know, the office of New Japan is not too thrilled. So that's going to be a tough road for him to sled. I think Rumble, you'll see Mike in the Rumble. But, I mean, there's plenty of other people that you know, have – need stuff to do.
Ishii,
that's the big one.
That's the guy. I'm sorry, but that's the guy who should be facing Suzuki for this NEVER title.
I would like that. Again, we talk about this. I talked about this before. That every time I've gone over to Japan, on every promotional poster that I would see for shows, Goto's on it. You know, Goto's in the mix all the time.
I've seen him face Suzuki a couple times this year. Matches were nothing to write home about. Don't want to see it again.
I'm hoping that in a big spot. But his hair's on the line, Colin.
I know. We were talking about that earlier.
We did. This is fucking Jimmy Valiant, Pez Watley shit going on. Fucking, he's putting up his hair. Miss Atlanta Lively is going to come out. Fucking not. Paul Jones is coming out. Bald-headed geek. If we start a bald-headed geek chant in fucking Tokyo Dome, I'll go nuts. He put up his hair. Like, seriously.
That should be the hashtag when everyone is tweeting about this online as it's
bald
happening.
Geek.
Bald-headed geek.
Bald-headed geek. I
hashtag
would fucking
bald-headed
love it.
Geek. Let's do it.
I mean, this is lower mid-card Starcade bullshit right here. Yeah, I don't... I truth be told, I don't give a flying fuck. You know what? In a way, I want Goto to shave his head. I want to see a bald fucking Hirooki Goto.
Maybe that's what he needs. Maybe that's what's missing here.
You know, maybe it's like a Steve Austin transformation. He comes on, he revolutionizes the fucking business.
Selling t-shirts like hotcakes.
You got your Tanahashi 316s. I mean, maybe that's what it is. Who knows? But that's a step at Wrestle Kingdom. Somebody's going to lose their fucking hair against the NEVER open weight title. Wow. I'm not going to lie. That does nothing for me. That's doing nothing for me.
Getting back to the heavyweight tag title picture, though.
Sorry, yes.
How do you feel about the match itself? KES versus Sonata and Evil.
I'll tell you right now, I don't think KES walks out with the titles.
No, I don't think KES is walking out with the titles. I think that while it's not, I wouldn't say it's like a dream match in my eyes. I think it will be a good match. I'm not the biggest KES fan. I definitely rank them above G.O.D., but, you know, I'm more of a War Machine guy when it comes to the heavyweight tag picture. I would kind of rather see like a War Machine versus Sonata and Evil. But again, I still think there's a chance they could possibly get involved as well, but we'll see.
But that team and that title change does make that tag division 1,000 times more interesting.
Absolutely.
Because I guarantee you, I would rather see a Evil Sonata against G.O.D. match than a G.O.D. KES match, for certain.
Oh,
right?
Any day of the week.
I would rather see an Evil Sonata, who, again, Evil, who had an outstanding fucking year.
He did.
Right? Right?
Sonata, a little more understated, but...
Right? But now we're going to give these guys the straps, and I think that's going to be some that's going to be some juice. Pardon the pun. That's going to spring some life. Like, you know, when we went to a couple years ago, and it was Goto and Shibata, and everybody was, you know, we were thrilled, and that ended really quick. I think we're going into Wrestle Kingdom with a pot at the end of the rainbow here. Listen, I know we always wanted Goto and Ishii,
but that ship has sailed.
That ship has sailed. But here's the thing: they can always go back to it. They can always go back to it. Let's just say that Goto doesn't win. We got a bald-headed Goto and a bald-headed Ishii, huh?
Oh man!
Now we're talking, right?
Now we're talking. Just two, you know, big
geeks,
bulky monsters.
Yes, against Evil and Sonata,
pint-sized monsters.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. That's interesting. How about Evil and the Sonata against War Machine?
That sounds like a great match to me.
I could go for that as well. Look, there's a lot of combos that you could sink your teeth into, right? Let's say they bring back Cobb, right?
I would love for them to bring back Cobb, and you know, maybe take a chance and bring in Matt Riddle.
All right, let's pump the brakes. I hear what you're saying. I understand. But my point being, Colin, is that the tag team division, a division that is right up there at biggest disappointment of the year, right, in our New Japan Pure
Cast. A lot of people chose that.
That's right. I think I'm going to give you the hot take right here, Colin. I think 2018, we see a resurgence in the IWGP heavyweight tag division. I think it's going to be an exciting fucking year if Evil and Sonata are your tag champs for a decent run.
So right now, Wednesday evening, December 13th, you are going to state
that
we are next year when we're doing the 2018 PuroCast year-end awards. I know you're already looking forward to it. you're saying that the heavyweight tag division will not be in consideration for biggest disappointment of the year.
In fact, I think the tag division will get a nomination for most improved.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
Wow. That's a mighty undertaking that we're talking about doing here.
You know what? It is, but guess what? How fucking hard was it? Give us something that people are interested in.
Well, that's the thing, and they have the talent to do it, you know.
Right.
And one of the great things about Sonata and Evil, especially Evil, I like tag teams where, you know, the guys involved have an air of credibility surrounding them. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you had talked about how great of a year Evil had. I mean, he had two really good matches against Okada, defeated Okada in the G1. You know, Evil has been in the main event at Sumo Hall. Sonata hasn't. I mean, he's had some very high profile matches with Tanahashi, so he's no slouch either. But my point being is that you have two guys here that have an air of credibility surrounding them, as opposed to a GOD who have none.
Full agreement. Right? You got nobody's had a. I mean, you know, I can't say nobody, but you know, he's a good second place is Evil in this most improved category. He's had a hell of a fucking year. He's you know, on the card and importance wise, you know, he's number two Los Ingobernables. That's nothing to sneeze at. He is the gatekeeper in Los Ingobernables. Right? That's a big spot. It's a big spot.
Number two heavyweight or number two in general?
In general.
Okay.
In Los Ingobernables, who else?
I was just thinking of Takahashi because I know that there's some people who would probably argue that Takahashi's number two, but I agree with you, actually.
I think it's Evil. I think it's Evil. Just being a heavyweight does that.
Poor juniors.
I know. They're second-class citizens.
I want equal rights for junior heavyweights in New Japan in 2018.
Oh, yeah. Get behind that. I'm behind it. I listen, you know me. And the junior title is my favorite title. But I think in this day and age, it's ridiculous. And New Japan's really one of the few promotions that really sticks by that now.
I mean, it's so dated.
It does feel very dated. It does feel very antiquated. All right, but the tag division does – listen, there is a bright spot. I see a light at the end of the tunnel here with Sonata and Evil. That is absolutely a positive. Even after sitting through a lot of the World Tag League nonsense, I don't think there was anything that was super-duper spectacular. I know that we really liked the best friends, right, the Chucky T and the Trent Beretta, or just Beretta, excuse me. And Elgin and Cobb match, that was fantastic.
Yeah, that was the best match overall to me. Best Friends versus Elgin and Cobb. I wanted to ask you though, what did you think of the World Tag League final itself, the main event?
Main event was okay. It was good. It was not great. I thought the beginning was actually pretty fucking boring. I was looking at the beat down, you know, the G.O.D. Beat down on getting heat, if you will, on Los Ingobernables. I thought that was kind of slow and plotty and just fucking.
I love when Sonata does the spot where they whip him into the ropes. He does the Ric Flair, flip over thing.
Right.
Then he springboards. He does a double drop kick with both feet. Like that was a shining moment right there.
I think he's talented. We all know he's talented. I thought the match was okay. I didn't think it was great. And here's the thing. I don't think the entire World Tag League as a whole, the final show, should I say, was great in the sense of a usual New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I'm putting this in air quotes, big show, big, important show. I don't think I would put this up there with match quality-wise, right? But from a pro wrestling perspective, and again the angles that were shot and the stories that are, we're connecting dots leading to Wrestle Kingdom. This show was pretty fun. This show, listen, everybody knows what the fuck we're talking about here at this point. It's the Omega and Chris Jericho surprise. That was unbelievable, Colin.
I don't think anyone expected that.
No. I had no idea, was not tipped in whatsoever. That blew me away. Here's the thing, and here's what it's done. We're going to get right into it right now. Here we go, Kevin Kelly.
A little wink and a nod.
What a fucking outstanding job from Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho. Colin, I felt like it was 1987 UWF, right? That's the feel I got from this, right? It's that kind of simple animosity. Here's a new feud. Kids, this is how pro wrestling is done. This is pro wrestling right here. An absolute surprise seeing Chris Jericho in, of all places, Fukuoka, right? I thought I was the only American that made it there, right?
Yeah, like who thought that Jericho was going to get on a plane in the middle of December and head to Fukuoka? Right before the dome.
Right. Not me. I'm going to be truthful. And not me. I mean, there's a big difference between sending a video package and then the lights come on. They're like ECW Arena. I'm waiting for Jim Cornette to start swinging a fucking tennis racket. It's great. Oh, I jumped out of my seat. And here's the thing. Kevin Kelly. Don Callis. I listened to that English commentary.
Oh, you did?
Oh, they did a fucking great job.
Excellent job.
Oh, did they ever do a great job? They got me hyped, right?
Excellent job by Don Callis, too, selling.
Yeah, so again, here's the video package hits, and you're thinking, okay, video package, here we go, and find a way. Lights come up, here's Jericho standing in the fucking ring. And that crowd in Fukuoka is pretty notorious for being a quiet crowd.
Yes, right? They are.
They are pretty notorious for that. And when I was there, live, they didn't seem like it. It wasn't bad. I will say this: when I saw it live, it was Kenny Omega and who the fuck challenged Kenny Omega for that title
in Fukuoka, like 2015.
Yeah, Alex Shelley.
Yeah, Alex Shelley. That was a good match.
Well, it was a decent match, but the crowd was just like you could have heard a pin drop.
I was excited.
I like Alex Shelley a lot, especially at that time. crowd was quiet in the beginning for most of the show, but they kind of perked up when they saw Jericho. You heard the crowd kind of go, oh, whoa. And then he hits that code breaker, the belt, the busting open, Kenny Omega. You saw a little blood. When was the last time you saw a little blood in a ring, Colin?
Yeah, I mean that's something that Jericho was actually talking about. He basically said, you know, in the world that I come from, we don't get to do that anymore. So it kind of harkens back to old times where when you see the Crimson Mask, if you will, that's something again very, very simple that can turn the feud up to 11. You know what I mean?
And I think what made that great was the fact that you don't see it all the time. And
I can't remember the last time I saw a blade job. I honestly can't.
I'm trying to think back. In a New Japan ring?
I just mean in general, pro wrestling. And like the last time I can remember someone bleeding was when that maniac Vince had Steen headbutt him as hard as he could, but you know that was hard way. But like
that was hard way, yeah.
But like a blade job like that, I'm at a loss.
Wasn't there a story of, and again, I might be talking completely out my ass here, but wasn't there a story of, wasn't it like Batista or something like that, or Orton went into business for themselves and decided they were going to blade? And
maybe
they got a whole bunch of shit for that. For some reason, that rings a bell. Yeah, I can't remember the last time in a New Japan ring. Like, but again. When we talk about, even when it comes to the hard ways, when accidental hard ways happen, and we always say, like, oh, my God, it really took the match to a next level, right? This is an angle. This is to sell tickets. And I was so in. And then Callis hopping in the ring, doing his thing,
yep.
Sold it like
checking
a champ.
Checking on Kenny Omega, and Jericho lays him out with the code breaker. He gets stretchered out of there.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Jericho looks – I don't know how that man does it. Like, he's
pretty badass, huh?
Yeah, he's the same guy, but he's got an edge. Now he's got a little bit of a fucking griminess to him. Now he's like fucking Basara Jericho. Right? He's got a little fucking edge to him. He's got a little griminess.
Listen, Jericho has always been one of the best guys in the business, next to The Undertaker, I'd say, if we're talking American pro wrestlers here. Well, Jericho's Canadian, but you know what I mean. Who has had this uncanny ability to, you know, consistently reinvent himself. And like you said, he did it once again here. I mean, this is not the Chris Jericho that many of you grew up with. This isn't the Chris Jericho we saw in WWE in the past year. This is a completely different Chris Jericho that, like you said, has a bit of griminess, has a bit of an edge. He's like this old, grizzled, maniacal veteran who has returned to a strange land that he hasn't visited in a long time, and he's come back with a vengeance. And you had said that this reminded you that of UWF circa 1987.
Yeah.
But I get, and this came after the Wrestle Kingdom press conference when Omega attacked Jericho then, and Jericho cut that promo. This has a very Andy Kaufman-esque vibe, in my opinion. Like Andy Kaufman and Lawler on Letterman. Yeah. That's the vibe I get from it, where and this is very difficult to do in today's day and age, but where this is as close as you can get, I think, in 2017 to really blurring the lines between reality and fiction, and it really harkened back to the Kaufman Letterman appearance for me.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a shoot, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't get that feeling. I got more of a feeling of a connection of what pro wrestling maybe was to what pro wrestling is, right? Because, you know, I'm not knocking it, but, you know, there's only so much, you know, a little sarcasm, tongue in cheek. We know it's a work, and I'm just using the Young Bucks as an example, right? Because that's just what pops in my head, you know, being the elite videos,
the use of insider lingo, right, talking to the cameras, like,
right,
you know, you get a chuckle out of that when it happens at first, but after a while it's kind of like, okay, well, what am I watching this for then?
Right, and I get the fact that it's entertaining, and it is. I love it. Don't get me wrong. You know,
yeah.
But you get a steady diet of that, and then when you get jarred back into, oh, this is why I watch pro wrestling. This is the closest thing that people are going to get to, you know, a Tully and Dusty angle, or a fucking DiBiase Duggan angle, or this is 80s. American pro wrestling, it feels like.
Or a Kaufman-Lawler angle.
Or a Kaufman-Lawler, right. That's, to me, that is, and it's so simple. That's what it is. It is the simplicity of it, Colin, but, you know, with that press conference and the angle. It's simple. It's been done a million times, don't get me wrong, but it hasn't been done well in at least 10, 15 years, right?
Isn't that something when you walk up to the chalkboard and you put 2 + 2 = 4 on
right.
there and it works? And other times you walk up to the chalkboard and you're trying to do, you know, advanced calculus and it doesn't resonate or connect
yeah.
with anyone.
Yeah. I'll use it. Here's Music Damon make an appearance, everyone.
Here we go.
I need like a theme music. I need like a bumper.
we're going to work on that.
Right. I need that. Here's some Music Damon, everyone. I know that the other pals in London are excited. They're on pins and needles right now. It's you know, you can be dazzled and enthralled with, you know, a band like, I don't know, fucking Rush or
Dream Theater.
A Dream Theater, right? Where it's just so
intricate.
Intricate.
Technical.
Yes, of course.
Lots
right?
of virtuosity.
Yes, and technical prowess. Yes.
But sometimes you want to just listen to Tom Petty.
Sometimes you want to just listen to fucking Oasis is where
okay.
I was going, Colin, right?
That works too.
You know, you don't need more than 4 chords to write a great fucking song.
3 and chords
and
the truth.
That is correct, Colin. So again, while I can appreciate the fucking wizardry.
Listen to Damon talking like he's a musician in any way, shape, or form.
Listen, I know my power. I can play some Oasis.
All right.
You can give me a guitar. I could be fucking William Reed. We could Jesus and Mary Chain this all night long. I'll fucking feedback that motherfucker like nothing.
We've got to have a jam session sometime.
Oh, yeah. It's just going to be literally power chords. And I can do Talk Dirty to Me.
Hey, listen, I'll do the lead and you just handle the power chords.
Awesome. We're in.
Right?
I can fucking do that.
Could you imagine we start gigging like in like the, you know, the East Coast market? Like fucking who could be on drums and bass? Like Mackie on bass.
You think Mackie could handle bass? Listen, if Bobby Dahl can handle bass?
Okay, Mackie could do Unskinny Bop.
Oh, it's one
bump,
note,
bump, bump. You're right. He could do Running with the Devil.
Yeah.
Come on.
Mackie, you win. You're in the band, Mackie. We just made his night. All right. And you know what? Joel in London, one of our good friends, our good listeners, he plays guitar too.
Okay.
He plays guitar very well, as a matter of fact.
Great. So we can trade off.
Yeah. When we do the European tour, he can join us.
Right.
He's all thrilled to even mention them.
Simplicity, though, is what you were getting at.
That is what I'm getting at. And that's what we got here. And it was refreshing and fun and exciting. And everyone involved, from Omega to Jericho to Kevin Kelly, who did a great job, to Don Callis, who did a great job. Everybody at that press conference. Jericho launching that fucking table, dude. I couldn't believe it. He killed people. I mean, he launched that table and just knocked out. Like, I don't know if it was somebody working with New Japan in the office or a reporter. Oh, somebody just got fucking crushed with it.
He also used some dirty language.
He did use some potty mouth language. What would he say? What was he? Stop laughing, fuckface?
Yes, I believe that was the phrase.
Oh, my God. That was great. I mean, that was great stuff. And he mentions Fumi Saito, who we're having dinner with when I'm at Tokyo. We'll be having dinner with him. So, fun fact, that's right. Damon will be with the Stars in Tokyo. So, we had dinner with him. We had dinner with him last time after the Dome. Yeah.
What do you want, a cookie?
What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead.
What'd you call me, name drop?
No, go ahead.
No, but that was a great angle, man. Outstanding job by anybody. And here's the thing, too. I was the guy that sat here, and I talked to you about this.
That's where I was about to go. I was going to say, you know, if your interest level when this was first announced was, I don't know, at a 2.
No, I wouldn't say 2.
At a 4.
Nah, a little bit higher.
At a 6.
6 at best.
6 at best. Your interest level at the beginning was 6 at best for various reasons. I mean, I
traveled 10,000 miles to not see Chris Jericho.
Right. You and I, you know, both on this show and behind closed doors when the mic is off, we've been pretty critical as of late about the westernization and Americanization of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and we kind of feel in a way that like our little secret club, like the word kind of got out about it.
Music Colin over here. Jeez.
Right. Music. There is a Music Colin, believe it or not, that does rear his head every now and then. But what I'm trying to say is, for those reasons that I was talking about, you weren't exactly pumped about this Jericho announcement.
No.
How do you feel about it now on the grand scale, the Damon scale? What's your number now after Fukuoka and after the press conference?
Kyle, I'm at least a 9.
Wow.
I'm at least a 9.
Think about that. You are at a 9 for Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega.
I think the match here's what I really think. I think the match will be very good at least.
I think so.
Right? I think it'll be very good. I mean, it's Kenny Omega, and even if Chris Jericho is what is he, 40 something?
Chris Jericho,
Didn't he just have a birthday?
I want to say he just turned 47, and I'll look that up here.
All right, you do that.
Yeah, he's 47.
Okay.
November 9th is his birthday.
Okay, that's asking a lot of a guy to turn into Okada, right? That's asking a lot. With that said, I still think this match will be great. Great, I say, but I just think the energy in that building. Colin, here's the thing, and I talked to a couple people in Japan. They're super pumped up, man. They don't see Chris Jericho all the time. It's not like here where I could go over the fucking Wells Fargo Center and see him. You know, it feels like every other month, right?
Right.
They don't see him.
They haven't seen him since God knows mid '90s.
They're excited, and here's the thing too, Colin. Have you seen the ticket sales?
I was looking at them just the other day. I think it's safe to say that there was a big bump.
Yeah. They're 80% right now above where they were at the same time last year, right? 80% above? Did I read that right?
Yeah, 80%, I think.
Yeah, and that's on the backs of, they were 20% above where they were when Naito and Okada was finalized, right? So when Wrestle Kingdom was, you know, they already knew the match, they were already 20% above the pace of ticket sales of where they were when they announced that match. When Omega and Jericho was announced, it shot up to 80% above where they were.
So do you think that it's safe to say that there's going to be 40K at the Dome?
I said it from the jump. I really do. Well, here's the thing. There are no floor seats left, right? There are not that they're sold out,
right?
And then there's certain tiers at the Dome that are sold out. Colin, they're going to get more than 40. They're going to get more than 40. It's an amazing thing. And again, I know people are you know that are trying to hang their hat on the fact that, you know, Jericho is not a draw or he's not important to the Japanese audience and all. Nope, that's false. I mean, tickets sold at a very brisk pace.
And I just want to correct myself earlier. I had said that they haven't seen Jericho since the mid '90s. I meant in the a Japanese New Japan pro wrestling ring. I mean, WWE obviously does Tour Japan, and
correct.
Jericho, actually, I remember him having a match with Neville, I believe, not too long ago, a couple years ago, at Sumo Hall. That was pretty good. So, you know, he is, it's not like he hasn't worked in front of a Japanese audience in a long time, but, you know, in a much, much different context.
He said, and I'm paraphrasing, mind you, that this was the most exciting or the biggest moment he's had in like 10 years.
Yeah, he did say 10 years.
Yeah. That's not, hey, listen, that's saying something. And here's the thing too, Colin. We got this show and the eyeballs that will be watching this show. That's pretty huge with the Access TV announcement, right?
I still have mixed feelings about the whole Access TV thing. Because now hear me out.
Go ahead.
They're expecting to get a big bump in numbers for NJPW World, right?
Well, they're hoping. I mean, they're hoping to get a nice bump.
Yeah. They're hoping to get a nice bump. They usually do, right? I think they got a nice bump last year after Okada Omega, of course. So, yeah, they're hoping to gain a subscriber or two. Now, if you're trying to attract the casual fan, the everyman who knows Chris Jericho, has kind of heard the buzz on the streets about this hot new Japan wrestling product, you know, mm-hmm. you're trying to attract that guy, have him drop 999 yen for your streaming service. I mean, if that guy can just wait a couple days and turn on his television and basically watch the same thing on Access TV, I mean, what incentive does he have to subscribe to that service? I mean, I would say he has none. He has no incentive.
Right, but understand what Access TV is. Like, so there are levels of fandom. The hardcore people that would even listen to our nonsense because they're just so passionate about the product that they would listen to two maniacs talking on a Wednesday night, right? We love you, by the way, people. They're getting it regardless. Those are the people that are setting their alarms and waking up, right? They're doing it anyway, and they've been doing it for years. And then there's the pro wrestling fan that might be, I don't know, maybe a lurker on Squared Circle on Reddit, right? Watches their WWE, and now their interest is peaked, right? And they watch, you know, maybe they'll get a Ring of Honor show here and there, maybe they'll, you know, but they haven't really dipped their toes into the New Japan stuff hardcore yet. Those people are now on the fence of setting their alarm, but those people are kind of they're gonna drop the 999 yen to get the network, right? The buzz is there. They are pro wrestling fans. They may not be familiar with a lot of the New Japan stuff, but they're in on this angle. And Jericho, they're gonna watch the show.
If I'm a casual fan, I'm waiting for the Access show.
Okay, right. But that level, that those people that are waiting for the
quite
Access
frankly,
show,
part of me right now wants to wait for the Access show. But go ahead.
Right. That's. I don't have a problem with that. Again, the theory to me is you're going to take a small step backwards in maybe at the times like you say it all the time. The simplicity of just turning on your TV and watching something is a lot different than hooking up your HDMI cable to your fucking laptop, logging. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to watch a fucking pro wrestling show for 5 hours on a laptop,
no.
right? Right, or an iPad. They want to sit in front of their TV. Those people aren't going to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning anyway.
Well, right? Yeah, that's another thing. Like, if this was on pay-per-view, for instance, I mean, that's a very inconvenient start time, to say the least,
for people on the East Coast and you know in the United States.
Even if
Canada.
You are on the West Coast, I mean, you know, starting a major pay per view like that at midnight, you know,
right.
isn't exactly the most appealing thing.
In the middle of the week,
right? Exactly in the middle of the week, Thursday, January 4th. I remember
people are
that,
always back to work, right? The holidays are done,
right? The holidays are wrapping up. I mean, Wrestle Kingdom 9 had the advantage in that I think that show I remember it being on a weekend and they did have the prime time Saturday replay spot because I remember ordering it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so it's inconvenient, people are not going to wake up at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning to watch Chris Jericho, right? But guarantee you, come Saturday, they're going to tune in. They're going to watch, right? If they have, even if you have a fleeting interest, guarantee you that people are going to tune in.
I know a lot of people who you know, are aware of this match and have a fleeting interest and want to check out this match specifically.
Right. And that's not even to say that those people necessarily are going to then subscribe to New Japan World. Right?
Most of them probably won't.
I would agree, right? It's just not something that people would, that, you know, people have a hard enough time with Netflix, let alone
New Japan
World. Why
isn't this on Hulu, Damon?
Well, you know. My point being is that turning on their TV and watching it on Access TV is great. Now, here's what it will do, though. I think Access is going to get great numbers.
Oh, for sure.
They're going to get fucking great numbers for this show.
They got good numbers for the Long Beach shows.
Yep. So that, in turn, will help New Japan kind of indirectly. That's going to help grow the audience on Access TV. Access TV will want to do more business with New Japan Pro Wrestling. I saw an article where Mark Cuban even mentions New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Really? The guy himself?
That is correct. Yeah, I think it's Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated Online.
By the way, if Mark Cuban's listening right now, like, if you just
thank
cut
us.
Me a check for $2 million tax-free, I can definitely live off of that.
$2 million?
Yeah, $2 million. Damon, I could stretch that out. Oh, you don't even know. But anyway.
Well, I would appreciate just a thank you, for Christ's sake, for all that we've done, but that's all right.
I'd like $2 million, but
you
go ahead.
$2 million? I think Access is going to get booming numbers for this. They're going to feel it. And again, they're going to want to do business as well. So I think you won't necessarily get the 999s. You'll get a lot. You'll get some people that hang on. You'll get some people that, you know, cancel after a month. It's just the nature of the business, I think, when it comes to the streaming services. But it's the residual, right? Maybe a live show. This only helps strengthen New Japan in the United States and eyeballs that are in front of it. Maybe when they're in town, they'll buy a ticket, or maybe they buy a T-shirt or two. Or, you know, it's not going to be, oh, we have 3 million subscribers. I don't think that's going to be it.
Or maybe they're like, sort of like yo-yo subscribers, where maybe they won't renew after Wrestle Kingdom 12, but come
G1.
Dominion time or G1 time, they'll come back.
Yep, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair statement. It's an exciting time, man. I really feel it. And I know that we talked a little bit about being a little bit gatekeepery and a little bit fucking protective of what we love. And, you know, we got a whole bunch of new people coming in, and, you know, you do kind of get a little, oh, this is our baby. Oh, what are you doing?
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. But, you know what? If you think outside the box, it's a good thing. They're spending money on a product that we enjoy, and it only makes it healthier and more accessible. And honestly, at the end of the day, there's only so many times you can go get that fucking, you know, British import B-side, you know, and just hold on and love it. You know, sometimes you just need a fucking hit so that they can pay their bills and fucking make good music forever.
I think it's pretty crazy too that if you think about, you know, going back to Wrestle Kingdom 10, I think the attendance for that was like 25,000, and just 2 years later, now we're saying 40 plus. I mean, think about the progress that has been made in just those two short years.
You're welcome.
Yeah, right? I mean, you know, not for nothing. We do kind of create a atmosphere. You know, we do a show that allows people to really sort of engage deeper in the product. And it was something I mentioned to you earlier today. And don't worry, folks, we'll stop the self-stroking.
Each other off. Right?
we'll stop the self-stroke fest in a moment. But, you know, who have been the guys who have been most critical of this heavyweight tag division and have been talking about, you know, maybe bringing in some fresh blood for a couple of years now?
That would be us, Colin.
That would be us. So, you know, I don't want to say that they heard our pleas and our cries, but Evil and Sonata are your World Tag League champs. So,
right, they answer their prayers.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, everyone. That's right. That's right. Next up, it's Ishii with a fucking Intercontinental title run.
with right, and a bald Goto.
and a bald Goto. Bald-headed geek. I need that fucking hat. If that hashtag doesn't take off, I know we say this all the time. Hey, if bald-headed geek doesn't fucking take off, and I want full credit for it. I want full fucking credit for it when that fucking match happens. And Kevin Kelly, if I'm going to see a hashtag on that screen, that NJPW hashtag, I want hashtag bald-headed geek up there.
And hashtag PuroCast.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Also, Kevin Kelly did an awesome job on this World Tag League. You mentioned the Takayama Fund.
Ah, yes, the Takayama Fund. I believe I saw a tweet about that today from our good buddy Gaijin Eric. Let me pull that up, actually.
All right. Yeah, but Kevin Kelly did an outstanding job with that. We definitely appreciate it. And you know who we also get tweets from, retweets, is that great David Meltzer. Maybe you've heard of him. So he retweets us a lot. We certainly appreciate that. It's a great thing, man. I can't believe how much we've collected. It's shocking, and I'm very proud to call myself a pro wrestling fan, and I'm proud of each and every one of you that took the time and dug deep into your wallets. We have a number. Colin, I'm going to let you do the reveal. We have a number that I could not believe when I heard it. I am very proud of each and every one of you who donated. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's going to be impressive, and know that this moment, you have yourselves to thank. So, Colin, if you would, as of today, we have broken the threshold of.
So, as of right now,
yes,
the Real Hero Drive for Takayama has surpassed 3,500 and now stands at 3,550. Now, there's about 2 weeks remaining, so you still have 2 weeks to go. But yeah, we are at 3,550 as of right now.
That is fucking unbelievable, guys and gals and everyone. It blows my mind. The kindness. I can't wait. I'm not going to lie. That's going to be a highlight of the trip. We're working with New Japan representatives as we speak to personally hand that wad of that gas station wad of cash right to Minoru Suzuki, handing it right to him. And I can't wait. And all I want is just to be on the cover of Weekly Pro Wrestling. That's all I want.
Yeah, that's not much to ask for, right?
That's a small, something small, right? We can make that happen.
I mean, God knows you were in the Liger book.
I know, right? You know, I have that going for me. So I'm going to buy every copy of that when I'm in Tokyo, by the way.
I know you are.
I really am. I'm going to wallpaper my house with it.
Hey, while we're on the subject of Wrestle Kingdom 12, and
yes.
We're talking about Jericho and Omega, there is another main event on this show. I don't know if people are aware. It is Kazuchika Okada defending the IWGP Heavyweight title against Tetsuya Naito, another pro wrestler who's kind of sort of hot these days, right?
He just won a Tokyo Sports MVP of the year.
Yeah, he's no slouch, right?
No
slouch. Moving a little bit of merch, I hear too.
Well, but
what I'm getting at is so New Japan has like officially said that there's two main events for Wrestle Kingdom 12. Now I'm sort of a traditionalist, and in my eyes, the main event of any pro wrestling show has always been the match that goes on last.
You the and match, CM Punk.
Right. The match that goes on last, that's the fucking main event. And you can bill it however you want. There's two main events. There's four main events on this show. The match that goes on last is the main event. Now, I've been saying that a lot of the folks that we're talking about, the American folks who are newer to New Japan Pro Wrestling, who just got into it, they're certainly looking at this Jericho Omega match as the main event. And I feel like the Japanese audience and the traditionalists are looking at Okada Naito as the main event, as I am. Damon, what are your thoughts on that in general? What are you looking at as the main event? I think I know the answer already.
Well, let me set everyone fucking straight here, right? Naito and Okada is the main event.
Yes.
Let anyone forget. That's the main event. Now, New Japan, at that press conference, Colin, was talking about double main event.
Right.
They kept saying it. Double main event.
That's what I'm saying.
If you're Naito, you got to be out of your fucking mind right now.
You've been waiting for this.
You had this happen twice.
Since fucking 2013.
Colin, this is the second time this motherfucker is getting dicked over. This is the second time.
Since 2013. He wins the G1 in 2013. They leave it up to a fan vote. Nakamura and Tanahashi headline, and him and Okada are the semi-main event.
And it happened again. The hottest guy in the fucking company. What does this guy have to do? He's got to be thinking to himself, what in the blue fuck is going on?
I think he's just, at this point, he's just a victim of circumstance.
Look, I mean,
it's like the great Naito Wrestle Kingdom curse.
He's got to be, he had to have heard that and had lost his mind. Can you believe the goal of this company he's got to be thinking? Well, here's where we benefit as fans of this product. They are going to tear down that motherfucking house.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to say.
And even Okada's got to be thinking, what? The double main of what? He's after the year I put out?
Yeah, get out of here with that double main event nonsense.
Get the fuck up the street. He's got to be thinking to himself. He's got to be out of his mind. You know that those two are going to blow the roof off that place to prove a point. Either that, or they're just going to grab a fucking headlock and be like, fuck.
Could you imagine if they did that? That would be amazing, actually. If it turned into like Headlock City.
Yeah, 20 minutes of fucking arm bars.
Naito leaves his shirt on.
Yeah, oh, shirt's on. Yep. Fucking Okada has a t-shirt. Okada comes in a suit. He's dressed like fucking Loki.
Right.
Yeah, they got to be. I can't imagine them taking that lightly. I can't imagine that going over with them at all. Ooh.
No, I mean they've got to be feeling what you said. The pressure's on. They're certainly out to prove something at this point. I mean, they have to be.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. They said it more than once in that press conference. And you know the first time he did the double take with his head, what? And then they said it, you motherfucker said it again? Say it again! Double main event. Fuck you!
There's a main event and there's a semi-main. That's how it's always been. That's how it always will be.
I agree. And I think...
Unless you can split the space-time continuum... And like have them both go on last, or put how about this? Put two rings in the dome and have both matches go on at the same time.
God, oh my God.
And we'll see which match, you know, gets the bigger reaction.
All right. I don't think my brain can handle that.
No.
Now I will say this. I hear people screaming. I hear you. I hear you screaming at your radios, you maniacs. You know, we just got done saying, Colin, how Jericho and Omega move some tickets. They're putting asses in seats.
And
is it fair to say? And again, this is a Japanese audience, and it's not like when Jericho and Omega was announced that we had all of a sudden an influx of North Americans coming over. These people had already booked their plane. They knew what they were getting into.
They bought their tickets. They knew what they were getting into.
So literally, they were coming over for Wrestle Kingdom, right?
Right.
Jericho or no Jericho. Now, Jericho helped move tickets, but that definitely is a Japanese audience. That's a Japanese audience. Do they have grounds to claim double main event? Yes or no, Colin?
So in other words, do
Jericho?
Jericho and Omega have grounds to claim? Well, it's interesting you should bring that up because there was a recent interview with Chris Jericho that he did with Dave and Brian of Wrestling Observer Radio. I don't know if you checked that out or not.
I don't think I did.
If you are an Observer subscriber, I highly recommend that. I think it was from last week. It was Jericho being interviewed by Meltzer and Alvarez. And
Chris.
No. I actually, that did not happen that way. No. But seriously, Jericho, he basically said, and I don't remember the exact quote. I'm paraphrasing here. but he said, Dave, you know, if there's one thing that I know about the wrestling business, it's, you know, 5-star match, 6-star match, 7-star match, whatever. At the end of the day, this is about putting asses in seats. This is about selling tickets. And he, look, I love pro wrestling for pro wrestling. I love the sport. I love the in-ring action. But at the end of the day, I do feel like he is right. I mean, this is a business. We're trying to turn a profit here. And, I mean, you were talking about the increase in ticket sales. We're at, what, 80%, you were saying? There's something to be said for that. There's some...
Yeah. No, I agree.
Kind of... Even if you don't want to call this... Even if you don't want to call this the main event, this is the attraction of the night. Is that like a safe term to use?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, there you go online, and there are people that will argue to their death that Andre and Hogan WrestleMania 3 was a great match in the sense that it drew, you know, the worked number of 93,173, right?
I think it was actually like 73,000 was the real number, but
yeah, it was like, I think it was even a little bit lower than that.
Yeah, it was in the 70s though.
Yeah, it wasn't 93,000. By no stretch of the imagination is Andre and Hogan a great pro wrestling match.
And Andre at that point could barely move. I mean, that
right.
was way past the Andre that you saw in Japan, you know, wrestling against Stan Hansen. And
yeah, no, that's... Yeah,
he did some crazy shit back in the day. If those of you, if you've never seen Andre in Japan, like, he was really... He was pretty agile.
Yeah, there's a match on there with Riki Choshu that's really good too.
Oh, is
Choshu,
there?
Yeah, Choshu slams him. He let Choshu slam him.
I never saw that one.
That's good. It's very good.
Gotta check that out.
Yep. So anyway, yeah, I mean, because of the buzz and the money that it drew and, you know, all that. So yeah, I mean, that Jericho, I would agree that at the end of the day, it is about that. But there is something to be said about an outstanding pro wrestling match.
Right.
You know, people clamor about Steamboat and Savage from WrestleMania 3, right? I think that to me, that might be one of those where people remember their first good match, you know, the first match that really meant something when it came to work rate, I want to say. A lot of people point their finger at that, you know.
You know what's funny too about that, and I don't want this to turn into a fucking retro classic WWF podcast, but like that match, you know, you go back and watch that, it's an okay match, you know, it's nothing spectacular, but like for, you know, in the context of 1987 WWF, like the shit that people were used to watching, like that was like back then, like that was their Okada Omega.
Oh god!
Like,
yeah.
Back in 1987, that was like, whoa! What is this exists? What is this?
Yeah. Oh no! Absolutely. And at that point, Steamboat was one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
Savage too. Let's be honest. Savage was probably top of the game too.
It was great.
So yeah. All right. Yes. But so yes or no, Colin Miller? To stop dodging the questions. All right.
No.
It is not worthy of double main event.
No, the match that goes on last is the main event.
Okay.
That's how I feel. And like I said earlier, that the Omega Jericho is certainly the attraction of the evening. I mean, even with WrestleMania, you know, there's always a main event and there's always some match on that card that is like the attraction, the spectacle, the match where people just want to see what the hell is going to happen here.
Right, somebody's son's jumping off of something.
exactly. That's what this Jericho Omega match is. It's gonna be a completely different flavor of anything that, you know, that you sample from the Wrestle Kingdom smorgasbord of food.
Well, I heard that Antonio Inoki is going to jump off the top of a cage at Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, yeah? You heard that? Yeah,
I heard that, yes. No, I agree. Listen, I agree that there is a main event, and the main event is Okada and Naito, and it has been.
I think we should leave it up to a vote, Damon.
You think so? Do you think we should open up another poll? Sean, we need another Google Doc, please.
Yeah, I think we'll open up a poll, and then whatever match wins, that goes on last, and they have to put that on last.
Well, why don't we fire that away on Twitter, Colin? Why don't you send that out? We'll do that later. Maybe not tonight, but we'll do that later. We'll fire it. What is the main event? What is the main event for Wrestle Kingdom coming up July? July 4th?
July 4th. Maybe they should hold it on July 4th. It could be like the 4th of July tradition.
It'll be the Great American Japanese Bash.
Yeah, let's do it.
That'd be wonderful. No, it's of course. It's January 4th, right around the corner. 16 days away, I leave for Japan, so it's exciting.
Wow, look at you.
Right. I know.
Trip number four?
Yeah. No, one, two, three, four. Yeah, four.
Look at you. You can't even remember. You have to count.
I know. Trust me. And it's all been recent. I didn't go like in the 90s or anything.
Like when I first met you, you had never been to Japan at that point.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because we met at that Hammerstein show.
That fateful day when I was looking for Ring of Honor tickets because I wanted to see Jushin Liger and some.
No, you had an extra ticket.
You had an extra ticket.
No, you had the extra ticket. I bought it off of you. We met in line,
dude. You're out of your fucking mind.
You're out of your fucking mind.
No. Trust me, because at that point,
you had two tickets.
Damon, you had two.
You broke up with your girlfriend.
What?
I think you broke. I think you were going to take your girlfriend.
What the hell are you? I wasn't even seeing anybody at that point.
Well, then you lied to me.
What the hell is going on here? No.
I didn't have an extra ticket. I know people are like, shut the fuck up. Who cares? But we got to settle this. You had the extra ticket because I posted on the Ring of Honor board on Facebook group.
I posted on the Ring of Honor board and then you contacted me and you said, hey, man, I have an extra ticket if you're,
Really?
Because I can tell you with 150% certainty, I remember I was looking for tickets because I was like, oh, shit, Jushin Liger's in town. I don't have a ticket. This thing, there's no tickets available anymore because I remember looking on the Ring of Honor website and being bummed out. And you contacted me. You had an extra ticket. I met you outside in your camouflage pants and
shorts.
and here we are.
I really think you stole my story because it sounds eerily familiar to the story that I had.
I guarantee you were the one who gave me the ticket because I remember
somebody listened back to fucking old shows. And
I remember asking you, like, is $20 okay, man? And you're like, yeah, sure, because you were asking like $10 more. And
oh, for the ticket?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I was trying to gouge you, huh?
Yeah, you were. No. You ended up giving me a good deal. But anyway.
All right,
I don't even know how the hell we got off on that ridiculous tangent, but
I agree. All right, listen. Here's what my suggestion is going to be. We talked a lot.
We did.
Thumbs up for the show. The show was okay. Nothing spectacular.
In the middle.
A terrible match with Fale and Bushi.
Oh, can you believe that? Like Fale being laid out by Bushi, essentially.
Green mist, the DQ finish. You've seen it 10,000 times before with the green mist. Now all of a sudden it gets DQ'd. All right.
One cool thing though, really quick before we go on to different things, I do want to mention in the match with Okada and Naito, they kind of added a cool little element to the storyline in that Naito went for the Destino, but Okada figured out how to counter that with like a Cobra Clutch.
Yes. They're going to blow the roof off the place. I know there's no way that double main event thing is going to go
over.
Damon,
what's Naito going to do now if he can't hit his big finish? I'm a little worried here.
He's got Gloria. He's got...
That's not going to put away Okada, though.
Well, you never know. Here's the thing. We'll do predictions later.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a guarantee Naito walks out with the belt.
I was thinking that earlier today. I do not think that it is a definite lock here. I mean, they know what they have with Okada. Are they?
I mean, Naito is the hottest guy in the fucking company, and I think he's really at a peak right now.
I think it's the right thing to do.
What's that?
I personally think it's the right thing to do to put the title on Naito and give him a run and have Okada during the course of 2018 be on the chase. That's the route I would go, but like you said, I do not think that that's like a lock. I'm not going to bet money on it.
Yeah, I mean, I always go back to the story that Eric told when he went to Wrestle Kingdom, and I think it was Okada Tanahashi 2, and everybody in that building thought Okada was walking away with the win. Tanahashi gets the win, and of course you had that famous scene where Naito is in, Okada's in Ghetto's arms, walking down the aisle.
It's going to be you in tears in Japan. I know it.
On New Year's Eve. On New Year's Eve.
Getting the text message. I'm already preparing myself.
You know what you're going to say? How to talk me off the bridge.
Colin, right. Hi.
Colin, I had 9 strong zeros. I'm a little out of my mind right now.
I don't know if we can do this anymore. It's really taking a toll on me. I had a conversation with my wife and we both agreed that... sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, God. Con, you're the best. Well, listen, it'll be nice. It'll be midnight there. And, here it'll be, early afternoon.
Don't make me do math. I don't know what time it's going to be here, but...
You'll be like, you'll hear from me. It'll be great. Nah, actually, I'm looking forward. We're going to have a fucking blast. This Sunday, we're going to do a show, aren't we, Colin?
Yeah, this Sunday. Now, that's interesting because there are two Road 2 shows coming up. So we got one this Sunday and Monday. Two Korakuen shows. I call them, I affectionately refer to them as the yearly Christmas shows, but they are the Road to the Tokyo Dome shows. Mm-hmm. So we can talk about that first one on Sunday. And okay. I thought maybe we would do the big year-end award reveal.
I think that's a great idea. So next week, everyone, you heard it straight from Colin's mouth. Next week is the award show, which means, Colin, they only have a few more days when this gets released, maybe a day or two. If you haven't voted yet, what the fuck are you waiting for? I'm talking to you, Colin.
Damn, I was just going to say, I haven't voted yet.
How can you not? 3 minutes. Come on.
Colin, come lately. Colin, or sometimes not at all.
Anyways, right. Oh, God, Colin.
It's an Austin Powers reference.
I understand. Look, the awards are, you want to get on this. We have right around 900 people. 900, Colin. That's pretty amazing to me. Votes are being tabulated as we speak. So get in. You have Friday, midnight. That's it. We're not accepting any more. So get in. You want to get in on it. Vote for your wrestler of the year, the tag team of the year, most improved, junior. All that nonsense. Get in on it Friday. And Sunday we will have our third, Colin, you believe us? Third annual New Japan PureCast year-end awards.
Actually, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I really can't. This is the third annual year-end awards that we've been doing. So, yeah, we have until Friday, December 15th, that is. I'm gonna put my votes in tonight. You know, I'm so indecisive. That's part of the problem.
That
you know, and this has been, we've said it before, we've said it time and time again, this has been a crazy, unpredictable, wild year. I mean, if you would have told me at the beginning of this year that we're going to be talking about Chris Jericho appearing at the World Tag League Finals, I mean, I come on. Come
in
on.
Fukuoka.
I would have thought I was dropping acid.
Yeah. Well, listen, Mr. Morrison.
Mr. Mojo Ryzen.
Yes. Look, it's an exciting time, right? The best time of the year to be a New Japan fan. So we have all that to look forward to in the coming weeks. Hopefully our schedules will not be as messy as it's been recently, but we'll hold the ship tight. Hold the ship tight? How do you hold the ship
hold
tight?
Hold the ship tight. That's, okay, we'll do that.
Listen, just bald-headed geek, all right? That's all you got to fuck. Bald-headed geek.
Hey, right, really, quick, really quick.
All right, really quick.
Did you happen to check out that Okada versus Slex match?
No, but I heard nothing but good things about it.
It was really good, actually. It was really good. It's on NJPW World right now. I watched it on my Fire Stick the other day. Fun match. Really good match. Okada, of course, made this Slex feller look like $1 million. And it's just kind of wild to see Okada, you know, in Melbourne City Wrestling in that environment. Although I will say they did have some production values. They even did the whole money dropping gimmick at the end. So definitely, you know, worth your 20 minutes to sit down and check that match out. Good stuff.
Remember when I went to Bali in Australia?
I do remember that.
The young lady we stayed with, Genevieve, she's in the States. I actually pick her up from the train station tomorrow. So fun fact there, from speaking of Melbourne. Yes, I was excited. I saw a lot of things online. Mackie hit me up and was like, that's right. Yes. Texting me, as a matter of fact.
Wow, he's back on texting terms with you?
Back on texting terms.
He's unblocked.
Unblocked.
After the great Jericho fiasco of 2017.
Yeah. You know, he had to pay his dues, and he's back now. He made mention of that match was pretty good. So I'll definitely check that out this weekend. Absolutely. All right. So there we go. I did check, we'll check that out. You give it a, what would you give that one, Colin, star wise?
Oh, the Slex match?
Yeah, that's right.
I give it 4.25.
Ah, there you go. That's not bad.
That was a Purocast classic moment, by the way.
What's that?
4.25.
4.25. That is a classic. Oh, that is so great. Like 4.25. What the fuck is
AJ Styles versus Nakamura? They just had this
great.
Phenomenal match, and I'm like, yeah, 4.25. Yeah.
I was like 4.25, and he kept saying 4.25, 4.25. He's like, wait a minute, did I
say like 7 times?
Yeah, I meant 4.75. Wow. Jesus Christ. Oh, good times. Good.
Someone doesn't know their fractions, but...
That's right. Classic bet. All right, are we done yet? It's fucking 8:52 p.m. on a Wednesday.
Good Lord, it's almost 9 p.m. Yeah, Damon, I think we better wrap this one up, put a neat little Christmas bow on it, or put it in the stocking, whatever you want to do with this episode, you can do with
Hanukkah.
It. Yeah, Hanukkah.
First day of Hanukkah.
Yeah, you want to put it by the menorah, you know?
Sure, I guess.
I don't know.
Colin's trying to include all races and religions.
Hey, listen, we're all inclusive, and not for nothing. We have a very wide, vast demographic that listens to this show that I'm very proud of. It's one of the things I'm most proud of about this show, actually. So
I would agree with that, absolutely. Well, listen, happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends celebrating. Wish you the merriest of Hanukkahs, and
a merry Hanukkah.
Is that what you say? Is that a merry Hanukkah?
Well, you know what, people do say happy Hanukkah? Christmas. So
yeah,
there you go.
Listen,
it works. It's just an adjective.
It's just, listen, I want you to have a good time with your friends and family, and do what you do on Hanukkah. I don't know what you do.
I want you to have an unhappy birthday.
Ah, how about Morrissey? Oh my God, he makes it so hard to be a fan. Oh Jesus Christ. Just never mind. He's just out of his mind. Oh, Morrissey. Oh, Maz. All right, Colin, wrap it up before I get in trouble.
All righty. So once again, folks, NewJapanPurocast.com, your one-stop shop for all things Purocast. Like we said, just one more day, basically, to get your votes in for the Purocast Year End Awards. That's pinned at the top of our Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and again, NewJapanPurocast.com. You can find everything on there. And VoicesOfWrestling.com. We're up on there as well. So no shortage of ways to listen to the Purocast. And we're going to be back this coming weekend, actually, to talk about the Sunday Road to Christmas show.
Road to Christmas.
Yeah, it's a Road to Christmas show. That's what I'm calling it. That's what it is.
Right.
And we're going to give the big reveal, the winners and, dare I say, losers of the third annual Purocast Year End Awards. Damon, any final thoughts, comments, questions, queries, philosophies, whatever?
One quickie. So for this Tokyo trip, I am considering dusting off the old Snapchat.
Oh, right? No. I should have ended the show.
because Colin won't give me the Twitter account, which is probably for the best. I might have to dust that off. So we'll make that official in the next coming weeks. But that's how you want to follow the hijinks and shenanigans that will be going on in Tokyo, all these shows. So I'm thinking that might be the easiest one. I'm not opening up Facebook again.
Could you imagine if I just gave you everything? Like, I you know, carte blanche. Damon, here's Facebook, Twitter.
Nah.
What do you think would happen?
I would call that girl and be like, look, can you do this for me? And then we'd have more nonsense. It would just be like another just terrible moment. I'll ruin that somehow. No. So, again, I know people were want to follow along and they want to see that. So, again, if you don't have the Snapchat, that might be a good idea to get that on your mobile devices now. And then we'll make that official announcement in the next weeks. All right. So that's it for me. And thank you to everyone for the Takayama Fund. There is a couple more days. If you do find a way, a couple dollars, by all means, we certainly appreciate it. But I'm so proud of each and every one of you. $3,500. $3,500. When we started, we were just giggling at the idea of 1,000. And you guys blew it out of the water. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. It really means something. And, you know, pro wrestling fans, we get bad reputations being Neanderthals at times.
Well, Damon, I don't give a damn about my bad reputation.
I know that. No.
It's Ronda Rousey's theme music.
That is correct. But thank you, everyone. I truly appreciate it, and it means a lot. And, again, follow along on Snapchat. Maybe you'll see that picture as soon as it's released. So that's that. All right, Colin, let's wrap this dog up.
Can't wait until next year at this time when we're talking about Ronda Rousey being at the Tokyo Dome.
In the China role.
Yeah, right. All right. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys this weekend to reveal the winners of the third annual PuroCast Year End Awards. We'll see you then.